As we're getting ready for this new holiday season, I'd like us to take a few minutes and think about Christmas and Advent. So, we celebrate both at church where I get to go. The girls set up the manger scene and organized it nice. And I set up an Advent wreath, which is a little different. And so I wanted to take some time and talk about Advent and Christmas. So this is for December 11th of 2022. I titled it Advent. And the scripture we're going to look into is Luke chapter 21, verses 34 to 36. Now, the word Advent is from a Latin word meaning coming, coming. So in Luke 21, 34 to 36, it says this, and it's from the NIV Reader's Bible. Be careful, if you aren't, your hearts will be loaded down with wasteful living, drunkenness, and worries of life. Then the day of the Son of Man returns will close on you like a trap. You will not be expecting it. That day will come upon every person who lives on the whole earth. Always keep watching. Pray that you will be able to escape all that's about to happen. And the thought is always keep watching. It goes on in verse 36, also, pray that you will not be judged guilty when the Son of Man comes. So I created this equation. Advent equals always. Advent equals always keep watching. But that's, I think, the heart of the meaning of Advent is to keep watching and be ready for the Lord when he returns. So why is Christmas celebrated on December 25th? That's point number one on my outline. Point number two, what is Advent? So why do we celebrate Christmas on December 25th, number one? And number two, what is Advent? Growing up in a traditional Lutheran home, we had a decorated tree and an Advent wreath. But I wonder why? Why do we do that? Why is Christmas celebrated on December 25th, our point number one on our outline? Is this really the day Jesus was born? Is it? Part of my gifting or my responsibility in the body is to be a teller of truth. And telling you the truth isn't always comfortable. And as we go through this, what I want you to keep in mind is Advent means always be ready. And essentially, we need to or should pick a day to celebrate Christ's birth, but live every day like he's coming that day. So is that really the day he was born? Most Christians today probably can't imagine Christmas on any other day than December 25th. But it wasn't always like that. It wasn't always this way. The truth is, for the first 3 centuries, Christianity's existence, Jesus Christ, his birth, wasn't celebrated at all. So if you look back to our history for 3 centuries, there was no celebration of Christ's birth at all. And so whenever I'm looking to understand something, I look to when it began and I realize they didn't celebrate Christmas, the early church. And the most significant holidays for that church were Epiphany, which remembered the arrival of the Magi after Jesus' birth, and Easter, which celebrate Christ's resurrection from the dead. So for those hundreds of years, those centuries, they celebrated Epiphany and Easter. And Epiphany was the arrival of the Magi, and Easter was the resurrection of Christ. So what is Christmas's history? A on your outline. History, what is it? Much like the design of our government, one needs to go to Rome. A lot of our democracy is structured upon the concepts that were originated in Rome. And Christmas is not any different. Christmas began in Rome. And the first mention of December 25th as a holiday honoring Christ's birth appears in a Roman calendar in 336 AD. So for 300 years, they didn't celebrate Christmas. And in 336, the Romans in that church began to celebrate Christmas just 36 years later. Was Jesus really born December 25th in the first place? Probably not. He probably wasn't. The Bible doesn't mention his exact birthday or the nativity story date. We know the year that Christ was born because of the taxes and the census and them having to go to Bethlehem. So we know what year he was born, but we don't know what day. The Bible doesn't tell us. When you think about it, the presence of the shepherds and their sheep in Bethlehem high country suggests a spring birth. Been there, looked at that, and you take the lambs up onto the high ground. There's really good pasture there. And that's in the spring when it's warm and pleasant and the warmest climate you can get. That's when they have their lambs. So if Christ is the Passover lamb, and I believe he is, it makes sense that the Passover lamb would be born in the same time as the Passover lamb, literally, to be sacrificed a year later. So the best information would be that Christ was born in the spring of that year and identifying himself with the Passover lamb that was being born on the hills of Bethlehem. And then a year later, that lamb would be sacrificed, and a few years later, Christ would be sacrificed as our Passover lamb. Now, the church officials started using December 25th at the end of the third century. We looked at, 336. They wanted a date that would coincide with the existing pagan festivals honoring Saturn, and that's the Roman god of agriculture, and Mithra, the Persian god of light. So the Catholic Church, wanting to integrate the pagans into the Roman Catholic Church, started celebrating Christmas on the same day that the pagans did, with the same implements that the pagans did, to invite them into the church. And in order to accomplish that goal of getting them into the Roman Catholic Church, they would bring their pagan worship symbols into the church, allowing or encouraging the pagans to come in. That way, it became easier to convince Roman pagan subjects to accept Christianity as the empire's official religion. So in, 300, that was the Roman church, was centered in Rome, and it was also the Christian church center was in Rome. And they wanted these people to become part of that church. In pagan traditions, evergreens served as a reminder of the sun god that warmed and returned again in the spring. That's Saturn. This was where we get our evergreens and Christmas tree tradition, was from that worship of the god Saturn. Mithra, the Persian god of light, is where we get the tradition of putting lights on the tree. That's what they did. The celebration of Christmas spread throughout the Western world over the next several centuries. But many Christians continue to view Epiphany and Easter as more important. So for the first 500 years, most true believers celebrated Epiphany and Easter as being more important. And many of you listening to this would say, well, I got an idea about Easter, Christ raising from the dead, but I don't really know what in the world you're talking about with Epiphany. So some, including of the Puritans in the colonial world of New England, when they came here, they banned Christmas observances because its traditions were offered of gifts and decorating trees that was linked to these pagan religions and celebrations. So the most earnest Christians that came to our country, which at that time belonged to England, they banned any celebration of Christmas because of its origins in the pagan cults and religions from Rome. In the early years of the United States, celebrating Christmas was considered a British custom and was not practiced following the American Revolution. So after we won our independence, most everybody recognized that Christmas was linked to England. And so for many years, it was considered wrong to celebrate a British holiday in an independent American culture. It wasn't until 1870 that Christmas became a federal holiday. So in 1870, now it became federal holiday celebrated throughout the nation. Now the timing of that is interesting because in 1865 is when the end of the Civil War was. The Civil War ended in 1865, and we started celebrating Christmas in 1870, just 5 years later. And that is important for us to understand the culture that our country has developed around this Christmas celebration. So from 1776 to 1870, we Americans did not officially celebrate Christmas. So in our country, for the first 100 years that we were a nation, we did not celebrate Christmas. Interesting, isn't it? By 1870, the Union's industrial machine had seen the light of the money that Christmas could generate. Can you still see this today? At the end of the Civil War, the northern states, they began to realize that there was a lot of money to be made at developing this Christmas event and purchasing items from their companies. Germany was credited with the start of the Christmas tree, and its tradition was way back in the 1600s. Did you know that Martin Luther was credited with putting the first candle on the tree? I didn't know that. And Martin wanted it to be the star of the Magi. So in his mind, Martin Luther, when he put the candle on top of the tree, that was celebrating Epiphany, the Magi coming to Christ to confirm his identity as a king. President Franklin Pierce was the first person to put a Christmas tree in the White House, and he did that in 1854. Is Christmas meaning? So what does it mean? It means that it's a good idea to pick a day to remember the birth of Jesus. It's a really, really good idea to pick a day to remember when Christ was born. And to do that in your personal life without being confused and distracted by the culture you live in has always been the challenge of Christianity. The Bible does not give us a day that Christ was born. If, in God's grand drama, he thought we needed a day, would he give us one? I think so. So essentially, we can choose any day we want to celebrate Christ's birth. We could do it any day we wanted to. So if you want to do it on Christmas, cool. If you want to do it in the spring when he was probably really born, great. You can do it any day of the year you want to. Just pick a day to celebrate his birth. I have told you this several times, but it's still my best illustration of how that works. My dad knew the year he was born, just like we know the year Christ was born. But he had no birth date or birth certificate. So after the war, he went to the courthouse and got a birth certificate, and the judge says, "So what day were you born?" And his aunt say, "Well, it was a hot summer day." So my dad picked the longest day of the year in the summer to celebrate his birthday. When I asked him about it, why not pick the longest day? It's a lot more time to party and celebrate your birthday. So he picked his own birthday. Now, we can do the same thing with Christ's birth. Once a year, we should pick a day when we want to personally celebrate Christ's birth. We know the year Jesus was born, so why not pick one? Why would one pick one of the shortest days of the year to celebrate his holiday, his birthday? Think about it. December 25th is one of the shortest days of the year. Why pick that day? Why not pick a nice warm spring day when they got more time to celebrate? If they did let me pick a day, I would pick a sunny, warm spring day with all the fresh new growth and when lambing was in full swing in Bethlehem. That's when I would pick to do it. A nice, spring, warm day. Can you see why? Why I would do that? Because practically speaking, that's more likely to be the time of year Christ was born as a Passover lamb. So if Advent equals always keeping watch, so what is Advent? When and why did it start? What is the intention for us to do in Advent? For many Christians, there's a confusion about the meaning of the Advent season. Many people just do it, like we did in the Lutheran church. When I'd ask my parents, why do we do that? I don't know. It's just several Sundays before Christmas, and we light candles, and then the last candle is lit on Christmas Day, Christmas Sunday. Oh, why do we do that? They didn't know. Some of us may know that the Advent season focuses on expectation and that it helps create an anticipation of Christ's birth in the season leading up to Christmas. Many of us understand that that's what Advent means, is expectation. And in my outline, if Advent is always being ready, the expectation should be of his return. Celebrate his birth? Absolutely. But be anticipating his return and be ready at his return. So this is part of the story more about Advent. What's Advent's history? What do you know about this? Have you ever taken some time to read and think about Advent and its history? You see, in the 4th and 5th centuries in Spain and Gaul, Advent was a season of participation, for the baptism of new Christians at the January feast of Epiphany. So what they did is they celebrated Epiphany with the baptism of new believers, celebrating their new life, celebrating Christ's life. So what is Epiphany? This celebration was God's incarnation. God's incarnation into man, represented by the visit of the Magi to Jesus' birth. So it's the incarnation of God uniting with man. In the world we live in, there's a controversy over abortion in our culture. And some people in that controversy see life beginning when the embryo is fertilized by the semen of the father. That's when many people believe life begins. Many other people believe that life begins as the baby exits the mom's body and takes its first breath. That's when they start to live. But the reality of Epiphany is we celebrate the Immaculate Conception, where a virgin girl's body is invaded by the Holy Spirit and creates this God-man being into existence. So that's why we celebrate Epiphany. It's when Christ became God and man. And the Magi's visit was the illustration that this is a king, like we are. This is a king, this child. So why did God send the Magi? What were they to illustrate to us? The illustration was the king comes to man. God comes to man. That's what they were to illustrate. God's incarnation into man. That's what they illustrate. The noble and honorable king comes to a humble man. That's what they were celebrating. God gave us a date for this. Why do you think wise men came to Jesus? Have you ever stopped to think? Why did these wise men come? Where were they from? Who were they? Practically speaking, they were Jewish believers that never left some of the countries of captivity. When the Israelites were taken captive into Babylon and Assyria, some of them had such lucrative businesses by the time the other Israelites returned to Jerusalem and Israel that they stayed in that country running their businesses. And I believe their wealth grew until such a place that they were considered kings. That's who I think they were. So this noble and honorable king comes to a human man. Do you think that's why the wise man came to Jesus? Do you think that's why it is? Jesus is the illustration that God at last can become one with mankind. That's what Jesus illustrates. God can be one with mankind. So think about it. Christ's birth was generated when the Holy Spirit came to Mary, right? And our life as born-again believers is much the same. It's when the Holy Spirit unites with our spirit, much like the illustration in the Virgin Mary, we get the same spirit that Jesus Christ had. It's the same Holy Spirit. And our birth is when that spirit comes to us. During Advent season of preparation, Christians would spend 40 days in repentance, prayer, and fasting to prepare for this celebration. So think about it. When the Christians were preparing for Christmas to come, they spent 40 days in repentance, prayer, and fasting. Is that what we do to prepare for Christmas? The original pattern was to turn to quiet, still, and the less. So, does that come close to what we do now? If the original intent was for you to slow down, become still, become quiet, and desire to acquire less, focusing your life on Christ and his coming to humanity rather than the commercialism of Christmas here, that's not even close to what we do. Stopping, being quiet, still. It's exactly the opposite of what the early believers, the early church, said we should do. Originally, there was little or no connection between Advent and Christmas. For a very long time, Advent and Christmas weren't connected at all. So for the first 500 years of Christianity, there was no Advent and no Christmas. Did you know that? For the first 500 years, we didn't have Advent, we didn't have Christmas. And much of this was started in Rome. By the 6th century, Roman Christians had tied Advent to the coming of Christ. So, in the next 100 years, the Roman Catholic Church, the Church of the Empire of Rome, had united Advent and Christmas together as a church holiday. But the coming they had in mind was not Christ's first coming in the manger of Bethlehem, but his second coming in the clouds to judge the world. As we've been studying Revelations, we've looked at this. So that was the intent originally of Advent and Christmas, was to acknowledge his birth, but look forward to his second coming, not remembering his first coming. It was not until the Middle Ages that Advent season was linked to Christ's first coming to Christ. So it was in the Middle Ages in Europe when that took place. The Advent wreath first appeared in Germany in 1839. Eventually, the Advent wreath was created out of evergreens, symbolizing everlasting life in the midst of this winter and death that they had in Germany. The circle illustrates for us God's unending love and the eternal life Jesus makes possible. So the circle of your wreath represents life, even in the nasty winter, and it goes in a circle representing it's eternal, this life of Christ. Family began lighting a candle on the tree in the fourth Sunday before Christmas, and they light another one each subsequent Sunday. So you got five candles, you light four of them every week before it starts, and then eventually light the last one. So Advent today, the season of Advent, lasts for four Sundays leading up to Christmas. Advent begins on Sunday, December 27th this year, and it ends on Monday, January 3rd of this year. And when you look at your calendars that have religious holidays on them, like my smartphone does, it tells you when this starts, when Advent starts and when it ends. So the Epiphany is on January 8th this year. That's when they celebrate Christ becoming both God and man at one time. Did you know that for over 1,000 years, the church realized that the Magi did not enter God's grand drama at Christ's birth? For the first 1,000 years, there was no connection at all with the shepherds being there and the Magi being there. The reality is, when Christ was born in Bethlehem in the spring of the year, the shepherds came. But sometime later, the dates of the Magi come for their visit. And we can look at Herod the Great had written this down, but Jesus' birth was sometime in the 2 years before they got to Jerusalem. So the reality is, Jesus was probably 2 years old when the Magi got to him. What's Advent's meaning? What is it supposed to help us do? It's to watch yourselves. Watch out for your life today. Like we read in the NIV translation of Luke 21, 34 to 36, be careful. If you aren't, your hearts will be loaded down with wasteful living, drunkenness, and the worries of life. And if you take a step back and look at our hearts, celebrating the Christmas like many do in the United States of America, it's on wasteful living and worrying about the event of Christmas. In Luke 21, 34, then the day of the Son of Man returns will be close and it'll be like a trap. You will not be expecting it. That day will come upon every person who lives on the earth. Always keep watching. Pray that you will be able to escape that when it happens. Also, pray that you will not be judged guilty when the Son of Man comes. So being ready for the second coming is what the meaning is. The Advent is really a pilgrimage of one's soul. So it's taking your soul on a pilgrimage to quiet down, be still, meditate on the reality of God becoming united with man and God returning as the Son of Man soon. That's what the pilgrimage of Advent is supposed to do. This could be done anytime or any place you want to, as long as it's done. One's soul needs to be open and expectant. An ongoing attitude of bless the Lord, O my soul, is, I think, what we need to do. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit. We need to be expectant of Christ's return. And if we had an attitude every day, bless the Lord, O my soul, I think we'd be in the right place. This was my aha for this week, when I realized that if I had the attitude every day, bless the Lord, O my soul, that I would be on the right track. Advent illustrates the situation of church in these last days, as God's people wait for the return of Christ and his glory of his eternal kingdom. The church is similar to Israel in the Old Testament and their exile to Egypt, waiting and hoping in prayerful expectation of the coming of the Messiah. So the illustration is, the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt, and they were excited about the Messiah coming to deliver them. That's much the same way we are. We are in a culture that enslaves us with things, and we are looking forward to the Messiah, Christ, coming to deliver us from the mess of this world we live in. Israel looked back to God's past actions on their behalf and called upon God to once again act for them. And that's what we do. We look back to Christ's first coming, but we look forward to his return. In that same way, the church during Advent looks back upon Christ's first coming in celebration, the church at the same time is looking forward to the second coming of Christ in his kingdom when he returns for his people. Can you see that? Can you see how those link together? In God's grand drama, we are like his people in Egypt, struggling with anticipation in our hearts for the final deliverance of Christ. Boy, I really messed that one up. We are in anticipation of our final deliverance, is what I was trying to write. Advent is intended to be a season of fasting, much like Lent. It's hard to keep this in mind with all of the holiday celebrations, the shopping, the lights, the decorations, the Christmas carols. It's hard to keep that in the front of your mind. Advent's spiritual beauty is when we celebrate Advent each year, we make present our expectations of the Messiah. By entering into participating and remembering our Savior's first coming, we faithfully renew our desire for his second coming. These two are to be one in our hearts in this season. Not just his first life, but this coming of his second time. By celebrating the Savior's birth and martyrdom, we unite ourselves with John the Baptist, with his desire. His desire was, he must increase, Christ must increase, but I must decrease. Humility is the goal. We become like John. We become less and less, and Christ becomes more and more in our lives. So if Advent equals always keep watching, this could be our life's missions for 2023. To bless the Lord, O my soul, always, every day in the year. And to keep our hearts and minds in remembrance of Christ's first coming in anticipation of his second coming. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so delighted and thankful that you would be willing to give us the reality of a relationship with you. And we are so delighted that you allow us to understand the reality of your first coming, and it's evidence of your second coming. So keep our hearts and minds in tune with you as we live through and in you in this Christmas season.
Rising sun, King.